Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 11 this morning. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read one verse this morning, Matthew chapter 11, and that verse is verse 6. Now, as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read aloud as you read along silently, and then we'll read the verse again in unison together. All right, Matthew chapter 11. And verse 6, as you find in your place, would you please stand up in honor of the Word of God, if you're able this morning. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now let's read it together, please. "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Oh, thank you for providing us with your Word. What a comfort, what a conviction sometimes. And God, we're just so thankful that we can hear it preached and taught and have a place to come that just preaches the Word of God old-fashionedly without any apology. Now, Lord, please work in our hearts today. Help Pastor Johnson as he comes. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task ahead. Use him to help us. Now, Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ, they're not 100% sure they're going to heaven. I pray before they leave the room today, they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to give your neighbor sitting next to you special dispensation and permission to hit you over the head with a songbook if your phone goes off in the service. So if it does, duck. Otherwise, turn it off, and that will make our lives better and yours too, please, as we don't want to get your blood all over our songbooks. It's very different. Anyway, let's take care of that. Would you just turn it off or turn it to vibrate? We'd appreciate that very much. The greatest sermon ever preached, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, is called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preached that sermon. That's why it's the greatest sermon ever preached, because the greatest preacher preached it. It begins with what's called the Beatitudes. 9 statements where Jesus said, I'll just read them to you quickly. You don't have to turn there. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." There's 9 of them. The word blessed in the Bible means to be happy, to be contented, to be blessed. I like it when you ask a person, "How are you doing?" They say, "I'm blessed. I'm blessed." It means the hand of God is on their life and they know it and they appreciate it. Those 9 Beatitudes there, we think of them as those collected there as a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus started with them in Matthew 5, and then he went on and preached. By the way, those 3 chapters in Matthew are rich with great truths about life. But Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 6 is what we call, or what is known as, the Lost Beatitude. For some reason, the Lord put this one in later on in his preaching. Now, I don't know if it was the next day or sometime later. I have no idea. But Matthew 11 and verse 6, please, again, if you would, it says, "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Offended in the Bible means to be disappointed, to be let down by. Well, you know what offended means. When someone hurts your feelings, or someone has failed you or disappointed you in some way, or in some way you feel like they did not do or be what they should have done, or they did do something that they shouldn't have, and you are offended by that. Often we're offended by things that shouldn't offend us at all. right after our first grandchild was born, I was running into the mall for something very quickly. If you ever see me in the mall, you can time it, because I'm going to be in and there, and I'm going to be out of there as fast as possible. I hate shopping. I don't like to wander around. Oh, let's go walk around in the mall. You got to be kidding me. I would rather get my toenails pulled off with pliers than just go wander around in the mall. It's the dumbest thing on this planet. Anyway, I was running into the mall. There's a bunch of teenagers hanging around like they usually are over there. And these two teenage girls saw me walk by and they go, "Hi, Grandpa." And I turned around. I was going to say something to them. And I thought, well, kids, you know. And I kept walking like a bunch of smart aleck punk. Oh, wait a minute. I am a grandfather. Then I thought, hey, that's right. So when I walked past them going out, I go, "How's my grandkids today? How you doing?" They didn't like that. Anyway. So we got the idea what offended is. We do know what it means to be blessed, right? Because the Bible says in this case, you'll be content or happy or enjoying life. The hand of God will be upon you. But here's the thing about the forgotten beatitude of Matthew 11, 6. How could somebody be offended in Jesus? Listen now, we're talking about the perfect, sinless Son of God. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. How could somebody be offended in Jesus? I mean, I understand how we can offend somebody. I understand that because we're not perfect and we'll say some things we shouldn't say and do some things we shouldn't do or not do what we ought to. And we could offend people, right? How many, seriously, let's take a poll this morning real quick. Look at me. Now, don't fall asleep. I just started. Stay with me. How many of you this morning would say, "I have never in my life ever offended anyone"? Would you raise your hand, please? Bunch of unkind people in this room. Look at these folks. Seriously. Well, it's true, isn't it? We do that. How easily we can offend somebody. Because we're not perfect. But Jesus is perfect. That means without sin. That means he never had an evil thought. Never said a word he should not say. Never did a thing he should not do. But he must have known that one day people would be offended in him, because he put it in this lost beatitude, "Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." How could somebody be offended at Jesus? How could they be offended at all about him? About anything he's ever done or anything? How could that be? Well, I guess it's because they're offended at who he is then, huh? Because he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son. He isn't Muhammad, he isn't Buddha, he isn't Allah. He's not equal to anything else that's called a religious figure of any kind whatsoever. I consider it an insult to the Son of God when they lump Jesus with all the rest of these people. All their little gods and their beliefs and their philosophies and their isms. I don't like it when they say, "Well, he was a great philosopher." Well, he was a great philosopher, but he was much more than that. I don't like it when they say, "Well, he was a good man." He was a good man. Matter of fact, he was a perfect man, but he was more than just that. I don't like it when they denigrate Jesus to be just a man. Norman Vincent Peale and some of his crowd went around telling people they believed that Jesus was the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier. I don't like that. That's disparaging to the Son of God. I don't like it. I don't like it when they denigrate him to just a man status, where he was just like us. Now, let's be clear. He was the God-man. He did take upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And Jesus, when he walked this earth for 33 homesick years, was a man by all sight and appearance to everyone else. Though I assure you, he wasn't just like any other man. He didn't speak just like any other man. He didn't live just like any other man. He didn't preach just like any other man. He didn't conduct himself just like any other man. Because see, Jesus not only walked on water and raised the dead and healed blind eyes to sight and restored deaf ears to hearing and helped people who could not speak to speak. Jesus not only did that, but Jesus did everything the Father ever wanted him to do. And some people are offended by that. But here's what they're offended by. They're offended by the fact that Jesus wasn't just a man, that he was the God-man. God in human flesh walking on this earth. Entire religions have been started to get away from this doctrine. Charles Taze Russell in the middle 1800s was raised in a Bible-believing a home and church. Went to church and heard people talking about the fact that Jesus was God the Son and the Son of God. also a burning hell and the Trinity and the deity of Christ, those doctors, he didn't like that. And at 18 years of age, he started a Bible study to denounce those particular doctrines. The deity of Christ, the burning hell, and the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. At 18 years old, Charles Taze Russell thought he knew better than the Bible and founded what's become today known as the Jehovah Witness Cult. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. We have to understand something. Blessed is he who's not offended in Christ. The only way to really be happy in life and know the right way of life and have life that's good at all is to be right about who Jesus is. And to be right about who Jesus is, you have to be right about the Jesus of this book. Not the Jesus of society, not the Jesus of polls, not the Jesus of religions, not the Jesus of what man thinks, not the Jesus as people make him, but the Jesus of this book, God the Son, who was eternal, existent, and still is, by the way. Yes, one member of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, who the Bible said created everything. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That makes him Creator God. That makes him Genesis 1:1 when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:3, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. That makes Jesus God. He stepped out onto nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. That's who Jesus is. Now that's offensive to some people, because it's okay to nail him up on a cross somewhere. It's all right to talk about Jesus as a good guy and everything else. But when you talk about who the real Jesus is, there are some who are offended by that. And you cannot go to heaven until you accept who Jesus really is. That he came for one purpose, to go to the cross. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for one purpose. Did he accomplish more than that? Oh, absolutely. He walked this earth and showed us how to live a life on this earth the way we ought to live. He is our example. But more importantly, Jesus is the Savior of mankind. And people are offended by that. They say, but what about the Jews, Pastor Johnson? They have to come to Christ just like everybody else. What about the Muslims? They have to come to Christ just like everybody else. What about atheists? They got to wake up and stop being fools and come to Christ just like everybody else. But they have to come to the Jesus of the Bible. That's who they have to come to. And that's offensive to some people. See, in Islam, for instance, Jesus is considered a great man and a great prophet. They speak well of him, but they do not acknowledge him as the Son of God and the Savior of this world. See, that's offensive to some people. But Pastor Johnson, now you're trying to exclude anybody. I'm excluding no one that God does not exclude. It isn't up to me, friend. The truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You go to God through Jesus Christ of the Bible, the one who came and died for you and rose again. You go to God through Jesus Christ or you don't go. Period. And that's offensive to some people. Myself personally, here's the way I look at it. May I just give you a little logical slant on this thing? I'm glad it's just Jesus. Because isn't this world confusing today? Good night, we're confused as a termite and a yo-yo, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Everyone's got their opinion, and everyone should have their opinion. But everybody's got opinions like this. Everyone's got opinion like everyone has a nose, and they all got holes in them. And you got holes in your opinion, and so do I. But when God said that there would be one way to heaven, don't you understand not only the simplicity of it, but the absolute clear definition and direction for a person? It isn't all roads lead to Rome. You go to heaven through Christ or you don't go. And you go to heaven through the Jesus of the Bible or you don't go. See, that's offensive to some people. Well, what if I choose? I was door knocking over here in Anderson one day, and I knocked on the door, and a woman came to the door. And as I began to talk to her about her salvation, she looked at me and she said, look, you might as well just stop right now. She goes, you have to understand something. I'm a lesbian. And she said, I'll tell you something right now. If God won't accept me as a lesbian, then I don't want to go to heaven. I said, dear lady, God loves you so much he put a preacher on your porch to tell you this, that God loves you, and if you, like anybody else who is a sinner, and we're all sinners, ma'am, if anybody else is a sinner, will turn to Christ in repentance of faith, God will accept them. But as sinners who are willing to acknowledge their sin, I said, regardless of your lifestyle, God will receive you if you'll come to him as a sinner in repentance and trust Christ. She said, well, if he won't accept me as a lesbian, I don't want anything to do with him. That's just not what I believe. That's not where I stand. And I said, well, dear lady, I want you to know that God loves you. And I tried to give her the gospel. She goes, never mind. You're not listening to what I said. I said, oh, yes, ma'am, I'm listening. but I'm trying to help you. She said, no, thank you, and she closed the door. I knocked doors around that block, came down across the street, knocked on a door over there. A lady came to the door. I began to witness to her, and she said, no, you don't need to do that. She goes, she said she was a Jehovah's Witness. She said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And if God won't accept me as a Jehovah's Witness, then I don't want to go to your heaven. I said, that's interesting. The lady across the street just made a similar statement to me. She's a lesbian. I said, no, look, can I? Now that was probably kind of offensive. Matter of fact, she took it wrong. I don't know why, Brother Evans. Why did she take that wrong? I have no idea. I said, but it's interesting that the statement was similar, just different lifestyles is all. I said, ma'am, you have to understand. I tried to witness to her. She wasn't going to take that. You know what I find, ladies and gentlemen? Here it is. You see, but everybody has a right to think what they want to think. You're right. But when you go to heaven, it's not your rights. It's God's word that matters. And we have to come to God through Jesus or we're not going. Period. And if that's offensive, then it's offensive. But it's still the truth. Because that's what the Bible says. Blessed is he who is not offended in me, Jesus said. How could you be offended in Jesus? Well, maybe they're offended as to what he said. When he claimed that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that's offensive to some people. He claimed to be God. We don't just give him that title. He claimed it. When he walked this earth, in John chapter 8, he's talking to the Jews, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, wait a minute, you're not even 40 years old, and you said you saw Abraham? He said, yes, before Abraham was. And then he stated it like this, I am. He claimed the title of Jehovah. The I am in the Bible is a word or an expression in our English language for their word for Jehovah. And you know what those Jews did? They got mad at him. He said, you think you're God? No, he said he was God. John chapter 20, after he comes to meet with the doubting Thomas in the upper room after his resurrection, Thomas came and knelt at Jesus' feet and said, my Lord and my God, and he worshiped him, and Jesus accepted the worship. Why? Because he's God. His name at his birth was Emmanuel, which means God with us. He never denied the title of his Godhood. Never denied that. You know why? Because he's God. That's why. That's offensive to some people. They say, no, he's just a man. No, he's God. Because of what Jesus said, it offends people. Listen, he preached 14 sermons on life after death. Jesus did, in your Bible, 14 sermons on life after death. 13 of them were about a place with a burning hell, where a person dies and leaves this life. He told about two men who lived and died, the rich man and Lazarus. Those two men died on the same day. One, the beggar Lazarus, was taken to heaven by the angels, and the rich man woke up in hell. He did not go to heaven because he was a beggar, and he did not go to hell because he was a rich man. Both men went to those places because they were lost. And Jesus talked about those two men. And it's not a parable. Parables never have proper names in them. There are two proper names in Luke chapter 16. He talked about a place where two men are right now this morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen, there's a man in hell 2,000 years later who's still asking someone to drop water on his tongue because he is tormented in the flames of hell. You say, I find that offensive. No, you have to listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, it's better to go to this life with one eye and die rather than have two good eyes and go into hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus not only said that people go that you go to hell when you die and it burns, but he also said you go to hell when you die in the condition in which you live this life. Now that's even more tough when you think about it. Well, they died of cancer and they're in a better place now, only if they're in heaven. But don't you understand what it means, people? Listen, Jesus warned people of hell so they wouldn't go there. He didn't just say people are going to hell. He wanted people to know they didn't have to go there. Isn't it better to hear the truth that it helps you to avoid what could be than to be patted on the back and encouraged as you go on and wake up in eternity and go, oh, this is a huge mistake. It's too late then. People are offended in what Jesus said. Jesus said he's coming again. Oh, yes. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. Heaven's not here. It's there. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, it's interesting. The disciples said, well, Lord, we don't know the way you're going. How can we know the way? What they should have concentrated on was this. He said, I will come again. He's coming back. And certainly as he walked this earth the first time, Jesus Christ will come again. And he will set his foot down on this earth. And he will establish his rule and reign. And he will do it without a resolution from the United Nations or permission from the White House or Congress or anybody else. When he comes back, it's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will rule and reign from David's throne in Jerusalem. And Iran's not going to have to worry about their nuclear program because they're just going to get nuked anyway. And they're going to have to deal with all that kind of stuff because the Lord's going to take care of all of that. And see, that the people, they think, oh, no, you mean we're going to... And he said that we would be ruled on this earth by the sword that goes out of his mouth, the two-edged sword. And the rule of the law of the land on this earth will be Jesus Christ, supreme authority, and the Bible as the final law of the land. That scares the fire out of some people. They think, oh, my goodness, what will it be like? I don't know, maybe it'll be a place of justice. Maybe once and for all and forever, no matter how much money you got, you can't buy a lawyer to get you out of whatever you really did. You'll have to actually face justice. Maybe there'll be a simple, pure system on this earth. Did you know there's no mention of prisons in the millennial reign of Christ? Do you know why? Because the nation of Israel had no prison system until they compromised and joined up with the heathen around them. Because God's system of justice was so simple and so clear, you didn't have to deal with that kind of stuff. Now, we love people behind bars. We've spent 30 years of our ministry and life here preaching to them. We love those folks. There's some people in this room from the jail, and we're glad that they're here. I'm not condemning prisoners. I'm simply saying this. God's system of justice was so pure that when Jesus rules and reigns from this earth, everything will be just very, very simple. But also clear and distinct. That's offensive to some people. You won't get to appeal things 92 times over and never get any justice out of it one way or the other. By the way, both sides of the system, they're offended at what he said. I like it because he's so clear and distinct. You know what? You never have to wonder what Jesus was thinking. You never have to wonder what he was saying. I like it. Just tell it like it is. Jesus did that. Then there are those who will be offended at him because of what he allows in people's lives. Look at me. You know, sometimes he sent the disciples into a storm. 2,000 years later, we sail into storms in life, don't we? And we think to ourselves, wouldn't it have been better? Sometimes Jesus went and he calmed the storm. Sometimes, oh, every time he would calm the disciples first and then the storm after that. But God, you know, the Lord still allows us to go through things in life. Some people are offended in Jesus because he allowed something in their life they didn't want. He allowed something to happen they didn't accept and will not accept until this very day. By the way, don't blame everything that happened in your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give some tribute to sin and foolishness and the selfishness of our own decisions. Don't attribute anything to the Lord we created because of sin in our lives or the sin in the lives around us. But I know this, ladies and gentlemen, if he sends you into a storm, Jesus Christ is coming. He'll be there to help you. We'd prefer not to have the storm. I'd prefer to see Jesus walking on the water myself. So you know, smooth, glassy seas and the simple, calm life is nice. But boy, when the winds blow, like they did last night, when the winds blow and the things of life hammer away on us, I want to see Jesus walking on the waters. I want to see Jesus coming through the storm. I want to see Jesus get in the boat of my life. I want to see Jesus say, peace, be still, and let Jesus fix it the way it's supposed to. And you got to have the storm to see the Savior calm the storms. Don't be offended at him because of what he allows in life. Well, I don't think it ought to be where people ever have any suffering in their life. I'd prefer it not myself, too. I'd prefer we never have another day of suffering. I'd prefer never to get sick again. I'd prefer never have another person have cancer or go through difficulty or have hardships. I'd prefer that. Listen, I'd prefer not to have see another loved one depart and go into the next life. I'd prefer all that, but that's not reality. But what I do know is this. There is a Savior sufficient for every disease. There's a Savior sufficient for every problem. There's a Savior sufficient for every sorrow. There's a Savior sufficient for everything that I face in my life. And I found that out by the things he allowed that I didn't want. And when he allowed these things, I saw Jesus differently than I've ever seen him before. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh my. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We take that need statement of Philippians 4:19 and we put dollar signs on that. Shiny bumpers of a car, a job. By the way, he's sufficient to do those things. But when it says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, it simply means this. He will provide what is your greatest need in life. Not good pacing the floor waiting for the doctor to call, is it? So why do we need that, Pastor, to cause us to depend on the Lord? Know what's best and what's right? Why doesn't he see my need as something better than what I'm getting in my life? Because it must be your need to have something of what you've got. Don't be offended at him. Jesus is too loving to be unkind and too wise to make a mistake, my friend. Maybe some people are offended in Jesus, lastly, because of this. Because of what other people say or think about Jesus. Folks, listen to me. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus, the real Jesus, has never been popular with everybody. He never has, and he never will. He went to the eternity paying the debt of our sin from a horrible, bloody cross. Spit upon and cursed. As he carried that cross to Calvary, they ripped the beard from his face. They jumped on him and gnashed on him with their teeth. The Bible said they bit him like an animal. They stripped him naked. They beat him till you couldn't tell he was a human being. Nailed him to a cross like a criminal. Hung him in a public place. And sat around and ate lunch while he suffered and bled and died to pay for our sins. That Jesus has never been popular with everybody. And he's not popular now. Some people, Christians now, they're offended in him. That's why we sneak out of our house to go to church hoping nobody sees us. That's why we go to work and we don't ever tell anyone about the Lord. That's why we're ashamed of him. We're ashamed of our Savior. We're ashamed to say I'm a child of God. We're ashamed to say that we're Christians. I'm not saying go to work with them big hippie keep Jesus Catholic Bibles under your arm and beat people over the head with it. But for goodness sake, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They cuss his name all the time. They use him in profanity. They defile him and his name and his testimony and his reputation constantly with what they say about him. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? If anybody ought to stand up for Jesus Christ, it ought to be the redeemed of God. He was never popular with everybody, and he's not now. But it's not what others say or think about him that matters to us. It's what he means to you. When I worked in a lunch meat factory in South Chicago while going to Bible college, one more time, do not eat packaged lunch meat. I made it. You don't want to eat it. That's all I want to say. When they take that chunk out of the deli and they slice it, that's good stuff. That stuff in the package, no, no. Trust me. You say it's cheap. There's a reason. When I worked in that lunch meat factory, and the people with whom I worked found out I was a preacher, going to the ministry, studying at the Bible college, they thought it was cute to make fun of me. They called me the preacher, which is like calling me a white guy. I mean, I'm a white guy. What's the big deal? And a preacher. That's what I am. I'm a preacher. They thought it was an insult. I just thought, that's fine. Let's take an offering, you know. Here we go. Mess with me, I'll pass the plate in the break room, bro. Teach you a lesson. Then I'd be working with them on something, and one of them would cuss God. I'd say, friend, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't talk about him like that. One fella is crotchety old rotten dude. He looks at me, don't tell me how to talk. I said, don't tell me what I have to listen to. He said, you think it's something? I said, no, sir, I'm a nobody, but you're talking about my God now, and I'd appreciate it. I wasn't unkind about it. I had a wrench in my hand. I could have been unkind. But I said, no, I just appreciate that. After a while, they'd be working, and somebody'd slip and say something. They go, and I'm standing there, they go, hold on, the preacher's here. Let's watch our language, gentlemen. I said, well, gentlemen would never talk like that anyway, so it's not a problem. It wasn't too long until after a while, it got to a place where they wouldn't cuss around me. But listen to me, out of respect to my God, not about me, it's about him. I'm not offended in him. If the world doesn't like it, too bad. I'm going to hand them a tract if they'll take it. Give them the gospel if they'll listen. Do my best to try and honor him with my life. You know why? Because he saved me. He gave me salvation that I cannot earn, couldn't pay for if I wanted to. Keeps me in that same salvation, has been far more faithful to me than I have been to him. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. When I get a day off, it's usually a Friday. Years ago, I was in the grocery store. You've probably been in a grocery store here in town on a Friday and thought that was a homeless guy standing next to you. That was actually me. Hair sticking up 42 different directions, 4 o'clock shadow, which for a Cherokee takes about 2 months. Baggy pants, shirt all ripped up. Just run to the store and grab something right quick. Now, you ladies are panicking right now because you wouldn't do that unless you got yourself all together. But a guy, you know how it works. And I'm just thinking, I'm just going to run and grab something, get out of the store right quick. Register over from me, one of our teenagers is standing there. She turns around. She goes, "Is that you, Pastor?" I said, "Yes, kiddo. How's it going?" She goes, "Wow. I didn't recognize you." I said, "Well, it's my Halloween costume. I was just trying it on." And then she stepped back, and at the top of her lungs, she goes, "That's my preacher!" Did you have to do that today? I mean, any day is embarrassing, but now. And people just looked at me and go, "Yes, I'm her pastor. I am her pastor." And when they talk about him, and they say horrible things about him, I say, "That's my friend. That's my Savior. That's the one who has been so faithful to me." And I'm not offended if people are offended by speaking up for the Savior, but that's my Jesus. Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Stand to your feet, please, this morning, would you?